a people to whom we owe a great deal.
It was actually these so-called barbarians who invented trousers. Riding a horse was much easier in trousers.
The Dark Ages, an age of light, continues with What the Barbarians Did for Us. Tuesday night at 9 on BBC 4.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and in high-definition sound online. It's just after a quarter past 11 now, and next tonight, this week's jazz lineup, presented by Kevin Legendre.
Hello. This week, jazz lineup bring you two bands at the cutting edge of the British scene, playing sets that were first heard at the London Jazz Festival just a couple of weeks ago. It was a programme made by Jazz Lineup but heard in Europe via the EBU, the European Broadcasting Union. Well, we here at Radio 3 have a chance now to listen to an edited version of that concert performed at the Claw Ballroom of the Royal Festival Hall. In the second half of the programme, we meet Robert Mitchell's Panacea, a group with a very individual repertoire. But our first band is Ian Ballamy's Anorak. The group is led by one of Britain's most versatile saxophonists and composers, who's liable to show us that there is more than one way of stomping at the Savoy. Accessing all areas of the jazz tradition is Ian Ballamy, and he's joined tonight by several generations of great players. Gareth Williams is on piano, Steve Watts on double bass, and Tim Giles on drums. Ian Ballamy's Anorak.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Theo. Hearing six new tunes never played before. That one was called One for Gary. That's for Gary, who used to work at Borough Market, Gary the Veg. And this one's called What's in a Name?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was called Magical Madrigal. We're settling down now. This is a piece called Chomping at the Savoy. Thank you. Thank you. We've got time for one more. This is due to a friend of ours having walked down the street and seen a random sign. Just said Lobster Upgrade Mondays. And I thought, that's got to be a tune. So this is Lobster Upgrade Mondays. Thank you very much. Hope you're enjoying the festival. Gareth Williams, Tim Giles, Steve Watts, Ian Ballamy, Anorak. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Lobster Upgrade Mondays, a tasty composition by Ian Ballamy, played by his group Anorak. Ian Ballamy on tenor saxophone, Gareth Williams on piano, Steve Watts on double bass, and the great Tim Giles on drums. And as you can hear, it was a really firing set, full of the usually idiosyncratic writing of Ian Ballamy, with some great playing from all the guys as well. This is Kevin Legend with you on Jazz Lineup, bringing you a concert that took place a couple of weeks ago at the London Jazz Festival. It was first broadcast on the EBU radio network and features two British bands. During the programme at this point, we changed over sets and I took the opportunity to ask Ian about the tunes.
I was just thinking, I tried to write something that was like what used to be a modern jazz tune, but now I guess you call it more of a retro modern jazz tune, something with some time changes in it and a modal kind of feel to it. Something with a bit of crustacean in it, if you like.
There are some other references to food as well. You've got Chomping at the Savoy. Tell us about that.
Oh, I hadn't really thought about that. That's loosely based on Stomping at the Savoy, obviously. Very loosely, in fact.
What does a song have to have for you to want to play it in your own way?
I think I like sentimental themes and sentimental music. I'm quite romantic, amongst other things. And I think something with a beautiful, strong melody and a good form and structure. It's just nice for musicians to play with and rearrange and do stuff to try and personalise and make it your own. So something with a good tune, I think, helps.
When you're writing your own compositions, do you always start with a theme, a melody, or would you have a rhythm, or would it just be a motif? Is there a standard process that you use, or does it change all the time?
There's no set formula, really. You're lucky if you get started, really. The only analogy I can make is it's like pulling a thread, and if you get a good thread, then you get a whole tune. If you get a small thread, it's just a small idea, and sometimes they sit in a pile for years before they get finished.
Ian, it's great to talk to you. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in thanking Ian Ballamy. If the ultimate goal of any musician is to have an individual sound, then this next artist has achieved that in no uncertain terms. He is the pianist and composer Robert Mitchell, and he leads the group Panacea. Their influences are far and wide, and they're one of the few jazz groups that showcase the human voice as one of the greatest instruments available to any musician. So please welcome Robert Mitchell's Panacea. Tom Mason is on bass, Laurie Lowe on drums, Deborah Jordan on voice, and Robert Mitchell on piano.
Thank you very much. Absolute pleasure to play for you and to be here once again and for the first time with Panacea. This first tune was a thing for left hand called The Glimpse, and we followed that with an instrumental called Cumulus. Please welcome on vocals Deborah Jordan. This song is called Essence. We hope you like it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Robert Mitchell.
Thank you very much. This next one is called Aura. How are you doing, okay? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We're going to do our very last one for you. It's called Flawless.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. It's an absolute pleasure to play for you. Take care. Good night. Thank you.
Robert Mitchell's Panacea with Flawless, proving that a talented small group can be much greater than the sum of its parts. Tom Mason was on bass, Laurie Lowe on drums, Deborah Jordan on voice, and of course Robert Mitchell on piano. That ends this edited version of a programme first heard on the EBU, the European Broadcasting Union radio network, from the 2012 London Jazz Festival. Thank you to our two superb bands this evening, Ian Ballamy's Anorak and Robert Mitchell's Panacea. And check out Jez Nelson tomorrow night as he features Adventures in Sound recorded live at the London Jazz Festival. Next week on Jazz Lineup, we continue the European theme as we bring you the 2012 European Jazz Orchestra recorded in Kiev. There'll be 20 musicians and 18 nationalities. Representing the UK is Colin Mills on baritone sax, and he'll be talking to Julian Joseph. Till next time, from me, Kevin Legendre, bye-bye.
Welcome from me, Jonathan Swain. This is Through the Night here on BBC Radio 3. To set us on our way tonight, Debussy in ancient Rome. Now, I can think of at least two reasons why Debussy's stage music for the martyrdom of St. Sebastian has never really caught on. One, that he needed to write it in a bit of a hurry, and some of it's by his friend and helper, André Caplet. Also, it was intended to accompany a five-hour-long play on the subject, but the mystical poet Gabriele D'Annunzio, a man for whom wounds and bleeding seems to have held a strange fascination. So it's hardly surprising he was attracted by the legend of an early Christian martyr who dies impaled on a tree by dozens of arrows fired by his fellow archers. What normally happens is you only hear the four symphonic fragments Debussy later made for the concert hall. But there have been a few attempts since the original play was put on in 1911 to turn it into a kind of hour-long oratorio with most of the music and a narrator speaking some of St. Sebastian's lines. And this is one of them, the narration here in Polish, by the way. So, after a sign from God, Sebastian is on a mission to destroy false gods and pagan temples the whole land over. He's summoned to the palace of Caesar Augustus for his heresy, acts out the Passion of Christ, and then faces the arrows. Sylvain Cambrelin here conducts Polish forces in Warsaw in April 2012.
Czyż jest śmierć aż tak piękna? Umieranie byłoby wtedy pasją. Policja nie musiałaby prowadzić dochodzeń. Szpicle nie potrzebowaliby donosić. Sędziowie nie musieliby przesłuchiwać świadków. Wszyscy spieszyliby do pretorium, aby donieść na samego siebie. Torturowani nie powiedzieliby nic ponad to, co wcześniej sami dobrowolnie wyznali. Nie. Czego nie wykrzyczeli. I byłoby to, jakby tortury służyły tylko po to, aby powstrzymać ludzi przed przyznaniem się do winy, aby ich nastraszyć. Do korowodu skazanych na śmierć dołączało wielu przechodniów, mających nadzieję, że dane im będzie przeżyć okrutną śmierć.